This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
And the pioneering work that God is doing at the Liberty Church that we're all privileged to be a part of. So please, let's rise up and make welcome our very own Pastor Pops Shola Fola Alade.
Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Give Jesus a powerful hand clap. Give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise. Give Him praise, give Him praise. Lift Him up, lift Him up. He's the King, eternal, immortal, the invincible, the only wise God. Give Him honor and glory forever and ever. The Bible says that praise is comely on the upright, which means praise looks good on you. Give Him praise so that we can look good. Look good, look good. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated in His mighty presence and tell your neighbor that you are in for a shaking this weekend. Tell them you are in for a shifting. God is going to shift you into better things, into a stronger place, into a greater status. Amen. Thank you. God bless my wonderful wife. You know, hallelujah. I appreciate her. Yeah, she says I don't like being called apostle. I prefer that my works be seen. You know, people like Apostle Aroma, you can see their works all over the place. We are still coming. Amen. I'm on my way. So doctor is fine for me for now. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys excited? I'm excited. God is in the house. Apostle Aroma is in the house. Woo! Pastor Andy is around the house. He's in town. He'll be joining us. And we're going to have a full power, full force this weekend. Amen. You know, and we already started on a great note. Yesterday was... How many of you were on yesterday? Ooh, wow. It was sizzling hot. And when I say sizzling hot, not sizzling hot as per excitement. Church entertainment, church excitement hot. It was kingdom precision and potency hot. Both Stephanie Ike and Apostle Aaron blew it out of the box. And how you know something is potent spiritually is when it's virtual. And I'm telling you, actual deliverances were taking place. I mean serious business and prophecy. You know, the Spirit of God came upon people. And you know, this is not, you know, winding the conference so that it sounds good. Because sometimes we church folk over time, when the Holy Ghost doesn't show up, we help Him. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about a real revival happening. And tonight is going to be even more powerful by the grace of God. Without much ado and further deliberation, I'm going to start tonight being having the privilege of being the host of this conference. You know, by the grace of God, we started in 2020. Who remembers? And to be honest with you, we, for want of a better word, we stumbled on it. When I say stumbled on it, I had a very clear and strong impression. I will tell you later. It was actually based on, you know, two messages I listened to. One particular one, very short clip of Apostle Arome. And then I said, very, very short clip, I said, these guys have to be heard. I mean, I don't know who else is watching. I didn't even know anybody else was watching. I said, I don't know where he is. I haven't spoken with him, but I'm going to bring him here and make sure this voice is heard across the nations. And the rest is history. I don't know if we caused the lockdown, but immediately after our program, literally days after, bang, lockdown, and then the era shifted. You know, it was a major shift that, to cut a long story short, you know, God used that lockdown to even further potentiate what He had started. And so this is the fourth edition. I want you to listen very intently incline your heart to what God is doing as we turn our Bibles very quickly to the book of John 10, verse 1 to 3. And are you there? John 10, 1 to 3. And we're going to read two versions. The first is the book is NIV. And the second is the Amplified Classic. My own version that I prefer, and let's not get to whatever about that, is the New King James Version. But that's just my own predilection. All the versions are good. Amen. And so we're reading from John 10, verse 3. Are you there? NIV says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Look at your neighbor and tell them the gatekeeper is about to open your gate. And then the sheep listen to his voice. I pray that you will listen to his voice over these next few days. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. God is about to bring somebody out of bondage. God is bringing somebody out of frustration, depression. He says, but they will never follow a stranger. I prophesy over you that you will never hear the voice of a stranger. Your children will never follow strangers in the mighty name of Jesus. In fact, they will run away from him. I see you running away from the stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. It is my prayer that you'll be discerning in your Christianity. You will not read the wrong book. You will not follow the wrong preacher. You will not end up in the wrong place. And then he says in John 10 verse 1, the Amplified Classic Version. I assure you, I'm reading from verse 1 this time to give it more context. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way. Somebody say some other way. Elsewhere from some other quarter is a thief and a robber. I pray by the Spirit of God that the thief will not come into your house. That the robber will not come into your family. It will not come into your church. And he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then I want you to underscore or mark a word there. The watchman opens the door for this man. If you have something to mark with in NIV, mark the first scripture we read where it says the gatekeeper. Here, the translation calls it the watchman for this man. And then the sheep listen to his voice and heed it, and he calls his own sheep by name and brings and leads them out. Then we will read the last scripture verse to give body to the text. This will be our supporting text in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 9 to 11. And it says, all you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forests, his watchmen are blind. That would not be your story. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. I want you to prophesy to yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, I will not sleep. I will not lie down at my post. I refuse to love to slumber. Then he says, yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain from his own territory. May the Lord bless the reading, but more so the doing of his words. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you in advance for what it is you've already done. And we just pray, Father, Lord, that you give us the grace to walk into the prepared place as prepared people for what it is you are doing and about to do with us. Open our eyes, open our ears, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good evening, everybody. And good evening, everybody. And good evening to the folks online. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about, it's more or less an announcement. An announcement with, as it were, an element of explanation to it. And I'm going to be talking about, it is time for watchmen and gatekeepers to arise. Look at your neighbor and say, watchman. arise. Look at the next person, say, gatekeeper, arise. Then tell three people, say, watchman, gatekeeper, arise. In my own opinion, up until now, this will be our fourth conference, Supernatural Shift Conference. I personally believe that this is the most important so far. And I will show you why in a short while. I believe that what happens at this conference is going to determine the course of this nation and this generation. I will explain in a few minutes. I believe it is so significant because it's not going to be an ordinary conference. It is going to be a conference where heaven will be giving us instructions as to what we should be doing at this time. The theme and the title of this conference is not the typical theme, breaking through into your larger place, entering into your wealthy place. And there's nothing wrong with that. You will enter your wealthy place. It is your season of expansion. And that it is your season of expansion. It is your time of harvest. That's not the theme, but it is your time of harvest. The title is Prevailing at the Gates. And when you see that title, listen to this, you will need further understanding to really appreciate the title. Because why prevail at the gates? To understand that, we need to understand what a gate is or why gates. The scripture verse from where that comes from is in the book of Matthew 16:18, which says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," most translations says Hades, but one says hell, "shall not prevail against it." Listen to this. Reading this scripture shows that if ever you say you are a part of the church, it means that you are already signed up for warfare, whether you agree to it or not. That anywhere you mention the name church, it doesn't have anything to do with gentility. I mean, you can be gentle. See, Stephanie, Ike was very gentle and calm, isn't it? She's not as vigorous and vibrant as I am. Yeah, but she was hitting hard. Which means, listen to this. The Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist up until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent do what? Take it by force. Tell your neighbor, say, "I'm taking it by force." This scripture announces the fact that hell hates the church. But it says something, it uses a very powerful word there, prevail. That it shall not prevail. The word prevail means to overcome or overpower. I prophesy to all the people under my the sound of my voice that the enemy will not prevail over your family. He will not prevail over your children. He will not prevail over your life. But when we talk about prevailing at the gates, what is a gate? A gate is the access point into a place or territory. Somebody say access point. Which means essentially, listen to this. When you were coming into this church premises, there was a gate. Maybe you didn't take cognizance of it, but there was a gate. And the moment, if you are not supposed to be on a person's premises, you stepping into the gate, I don't know about here, but in America, you can shoot them. I don't know if you know that. Which means the gate, the moment, if they see you climbing the fence, they shoot you. But if you step into the gate, you can be outside and nobody. But the moment you step in, it's called trespassing. But you know the sad thing is that Satan has trespassed on your property for so long, you haven't shut him down. And what we are trying to do with this conference is, as it were, for many of you, he has not fully entered. For some, he has entered, and we are pushing him out. But for some others, you see, when we just took possession of this building, when was it? December, January. Okay? And what we found, Apostle, is that in this building, there has been some illegal cars parking in these premises. And the owners of this church, I met the guy, the church secretary. I said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, we couldn't do anything about it. We tried everything. We did this." I said, "It's because they haven't seen me yet. I'm the new owner. And the, so we put notice on all the cars that by we give you up until this time. If not, now, I don't know, maybe there were about 8 to 10 cars. The rest moved their car. There are three still here. Yes, still. So you know what? We are going to remove it by them by force and turn them to sardine tin. Maybe you think, maybe Pastor, can you be kinder, more kind? We will give them another notice. And this is the same thing that I am doing, we are doing in your life. We are giving Satan notice from tonight. That any oppression, any depression, we give you for just another 15 minutes to take your car out of our lives. Or we will push you out of the gate. Listen to this. A gate is an access point into a place or territory, which means the gate, to be honest with you, is like the weakest point, except it is manned. And it is the access point into a territory. And there's a gate, there are gates to your life. Tomorrow I'll be speaking about that. There are gates to your personal life. And it doesn't matter who you are, whose child you are. If you allow Satan through those gates, you are shish kebab. And some of us are already, in fact, Satan is dancing at your gate. But after today, he's going to exit that gate. There are gates to your family, you will find out in a short while. There are gates to the city, and there are gates to the country, which means, what is the gate? The gate is the place that restricts the access of evil and allows the access of good. Your gate is the place, you see, many people don't like UK immigration forces, the border forces, but they are doing their job. At the visa entry points, what they are trying to do is they are trying to restrict access to criminals. And hopefully you are not a criminal, I know you are not, you know, but there are people who come who try to enter into the country to do some body trafficking and all of those kind of things. Yeah? And so that's why they put them there. I want to say to you that, listen to this, anything trying to traffic illegally in your life, listen to this, tonight, God is going to put, in fact, not just God, I put a restraint on their life. I restrain access into your family, and I decree and declare that your house or your life is a holy district. We need to stop the enemy at the gate of our territory. Now, let me say the best way to explain this. Pastor Ade needs to be in here to hear this. The best one of the best examples to use is football. Please, somebody should call him. He's a Manchester United fan. And how many of you know that? Look at your neighbor. Say you are a gatekeeper. Yeah. So I'm using the football example, Pastor Ade. And I remember there was a match recently between Manchester United and Liverpool. Manchester United and Liverpool. Who remembers that match? What was it? 7-0. So you still be, but they prevailed at your gate. So listen to this. I don't know the name of the goalkeeper. Who knows the name of the goalkeeper for Man U? David something. They should rethink him. Now, listen to this. It sounds funny, but look, this football team spend a lot of money on these players. And listen to this, football is a very big industry, such that his responsibility was so great. A simple responsibility, to stand at that gate so that Liverpool will not prevail. Who knows what I'm talking about? And listen to this, his duty at that gate, yeah, determined what happened. Now, it's a small thing because Man U is a small, I mean, it's just a team. But when it's nation versus nation, do you understand? When presidents go, they will go for football matches. You know, it's a national thing. Now listen to this. This is the way heaven looks at you. You are the goalkeeper for your own gate, representing heaven where you are. And it is my prayer that the enemy will not prevail against you. For many Christians, if you look at our lives, the enemy is in our own side of the pitch. You know, when they're on your side, they call it, they are pressing you. You know, if you, I mean, I'm not really a football person, but I like those tense matches. Nigeria versus this, you know, sometimes I support Chelsea, sometimes. Now, I like those kind of, but when they're in your own half, you feel pressed. And you start sweating. You know that they are prevailing against your team. Listen to this. This is the same way heaven looks at you when you allow them to dominate your half. Much of Christianity that we see today, listen to this, they are dominating our half. They are dominating our half because our players are eating burger and eating fish and chips at the gate, at the goalkeeping. While the ball is coming, we are doing other things. We are looking for things that will satisfy our belly. I see you going from the defense to the offense. This is why the scripture says, listen to this, I'm going to give you two prophetic scriptures. It says in Genesis 24:60, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, many may you become the mother of thousands and of tens of thousands. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, this is where the church has stopped. Because all we teach is church growth. And God has helped us. And we have churches of 10,000. We have churches of 50,000. We have churches of 100,000. But listen to this. Large numbers doesn't always make it right. If it were so, then 200 billion flies must be right. We should eat rubbish in the toilet. In Christianity, we tend to think because the numbers are many, then it means they are right. I'm not saying large numbers means they are wrong. But what I'm saying is, listen to this, it says, may you be the mother of tens of thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Which means if she has 10,000 or 100,000 children, and they cannot possess the gates of those who hate them, then they are useless children. What is the point of having children that, you know, they end up like the devil? What's the point of having a church of 10,000 and you have the largest church and all that there is about their needs? And listen to this. And their life is one full of compromise. And the devil is dominating their half. One other translation says that may your children possess the gates of their enemies. Now, listen to this. Let's look at Isaiah 28 verse 6. And this is my prayer for you. It says, For the spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. We don't have the time, we would have looked at that, but it's talking about decision makers. That God will grant you the spirit of justice to those who sit in judgment, and for strength to those who turn the battle at the gate. I pray for you. I don't know who you are, I don't know what you are fighting. But I'm praying that today that God will release an impartation of apostolic and prophetic strength in your life to give you strength to turn the battle at the gate. You see, what this scripture is saying essentially is that it recognizes that there are some people. So, what's the name of that Man U goalkeeper again? David O'Hare. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you know all the Man U fans would have been praying for David O'Hare? Just before, you know, Shakata Bata. Even those who don't believe in God. And what would they be praying for? For strength. World Cup, what was the finals? France versus who again? Argentina won, isn't it? Look, French people, they don't believe in God. generally speaking. But listen to this. During, before penalty, you just see them bowing down praying. But they are praying for strength for their goalkeeper. It is my prayer. Now, we believe in God. That battle that you are fighting personally, that when you sleep and something comes to oppress you, that thing that is fighting your family, that took your father, took your grandfather, I pray that when it comes, that God will give you strength to do battle and win it at the gate. Very quickly, I want to very quickly show you, very quickly, that there are three main types of gates that we need to fight for. The first is what I call the gate of place. Second is the gate of time. And the third is the gate of person or people. Now, what is the gate of place? Listen to this. If you are strategic, yeah, or let's put it this way, another word for gate is a strategic place. Now, many of you don't know, well, okay, let me take you into a bit of history. Islam, as we knew it, started from a very little place, okay? And then, you know, if you know, those who know about Islam, I mean, it spread through militancy, okay? And this is not a whatever about religion and all of it. This is history, okay? And they kept fighting, and the Ottoman Empire, you know, their objective was to spread their mission into Europe. But there was a significant city that was an obstacle. It was called Constantinople. And it was manned by the Crusaders. Rome backed, you know, they had armies and all of that. But there was a man called Mehmet, I believe that's his name, the emperor of the Ottoman Empire. He developed, he kept going back. He got people, paid them to develop cannons and all. Anyway, eventually he conquered Constantinople. Why? Because Constantinople was the gate city into Europe. If you conquer, whoever conquers Constantinople has Europe. Listen to this. Constantinople today is the same place in Turkey that is called Istanbul. Istanbul, Turkey, that whole area was where all the churches you read about in Ephesus, Philadelphia, blah, blah, blah. All of them were there. Not in that place, there's not one church. They are all mosques. So, the Pope and the Crusaders knew that whoever prevails at Constantinople has Europe. Well, the rest is history. Now, many of you do not know that the battle in Ukraine today, I won't go into it in full, but it's not all about Putin's madness. What Putin, Ukraine is a gate nation. Russia is landlocked. And so it has to do with the access to, one, the sea. But apart from that, it has to do with NATO and the USA's foothold beside Russia. You know, so for a long time, Putin has been saying, don't enter into agreement with Ukraine. We are warning you. Don't become friends with U.S., such that you become a gate for them to be next to us. That's what it's all about. So, was it right for him to take over? No, but he knows he has to prevail. He has to enter into their house. If not, if he allows them, they will take over. That's politics in a few minutes. Okay. But that is essentially the whole background. So there are some places that are significant and they contend for that. Once they take it, the war is over. Listen to this. Your church is a gate place. Not just the Liberty Church. This church is definitely a gate place, but every church everywhere is a gate place. And listen to this. It's the Satan knows that if he can take the church, then he will blind the whole nation. And that's why he's getting you to dance and do You do church, then you do Beyonce sometimes. You do church, then you do Asake the other time. Because he knows you don't know who you are. You are a goalkeeper that is just dancing to every tune. Look at your neighbor, say he's talking about you. I don't know about him. He's definitely talking about him. Then there are what you call gates of time. Somebody say gates of time. Gates of time. The devil knows that when we're talking about gates of place, the church is called the house of God. A real house of God is Bethel. The real house of God has the gates to heaven. If you remember Jacob. Uh-huh. So Satan knows that if he can get the church and turn the church, which they were going to do to something like this, if we didn't buy, the people that were trying to buy were going to turn it into a cafe, into a school, or into a dance club. And my former gym was a church. The middle, whatever, was swimming pool. The altar was where we had our jacuzzi. Each time I went to that gym, I would just be speaking in tongues, claiming it back. But that's what Satan has done to most churches. There's another church just at the corner of this road here. It's turned into residential flat. So that's what happens with gates. And when you don't know the importance of gate places, Satan will quickly take them. That's why I believe that the Liberty Church and other churches here will possess the gates. They will take those churches back from judo clubs and possess them in the name of Jesus. Then there's what you call gates of time. Somebody say gate of time. What is the gate of time? This is very important. Remember, a gate is an access point. So every year, let's start with the day. Every day has a gate. The gate of the day is not 7 a.m. when you wake up. It's 12 midnight. And some people stand at that gate waiting before the day starts. And they make incantations into the day. They program the day. And this is why Job said, spoke about, have you commanded the morning? Which means, have you stood at the gate of the morning to decide what will enter into it? Look at your neighbor, say, hey, are you a gatekeeper? Every year has a gate. And this is why many of us fast at the beginning of the year to see what is trying to enter the gate of that year. So we can intercept or bind and forbid, and then to allow what God wants to do that year. So, listen to this. But let me say this. But there are also gates of time in terms of errors. In the days of old, even up until now, their calendar was marked by the king. Have you heard of Gregorian calendar? Have you heard of King James Version of the Bible? Okay, so the king was the one that determined, the course of events. So whether you know it or not, when the queen died, was it November or so? Recently, when she passed away, you know what? One era passed and a new one has arisen. So you know what? A new gate has opened. And what are you doing at the gate? You don't even know. You are sleeping. Because whenever gates open, things open up. Let me explain what I mean by this. I will show you from scripture. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 1 verse 8, it says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Whenever there is a change of rulership, there is a change of policy. So before the former Pharaoh died, the former Pharaoh favored the Israelites. They built a city for them. When a new king, the new Pharaoh arose, listen to this, the dispensation changed. They started to kill the Israelites. I said, anytime there's a change of rulership, there's a change of dispensation. When I first came into this country, the immigration laws were so tough. I came in as a student. I had a two-year visa. Once it was like 2 months ago, they started telling me to, by so-so and so, leave this country. It was a serious matter. I had to prove that I was an asset and not a liability. But you see, that was it Tony Blair's time? Boris Johnson's time, the gates opened. Now they are saying, all of you come. I'm surprised. The people that wanted to beat us out are telling you, come. Why? Because they too, their own gate has locked. Europe closed the gate on them. So they are now opening the gates to Africa. They need your labor. So it is important to understand gates of time, and with gates of time, that gates are not always open for long. And so when they are open, you try to understand what is it that God is doing, or what is it he's saying. Why is this gate opened? We see in the book of Matthew 2:19-20, it says, but when Herod was dead, before I talk about Herod, if you think, those of you who are coming from different countries, say, England is open to us. Bless the Lord. He answered our prayer. Prosperity is coming. And then Canada is open to us. Listen to this. If you are going for just your economics, you've missed it. You are the goalkeeper that is eating ice cream. You know why God allowed the gate to open? Because there's nobody keeping the goal. The people who were keeping the goal before, they are now doing all sorts, mixing it with New Age. So they brought you people who are conk. But when you now came, you are now working at Asda and working at this and doing this. And so you don't have time for church or for God because you have to pay bills and send money home. So Satan gets you to work so hard that you don't have time to man the gate. So you know what God says? If salt has no flavor or potency, it's good for nothing. They may soon shut the gate. Matthew 2:19-20 says, now when Herod was dead, have you noticed that when kings die, things happen? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise! Take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Before Herod died, the angel says, stay here. Whenever a ruler dies or a ruler changes, something shifts. And there's something you are supposed to do. But apart from that, listen to this. You need to understand the gates of time concerning your life. Not just, so I'm going to show you what Queen Elizabeth's death has done. 70 years of our, 70 is a significant number. Queen Elizabeth was like a restraining factor. She was a gatekeeper herself. She was called the defender of the faith. Her son, while she was still alive, had already started announcing that he will not be the defender of the faith. He will be the defender of faith. And when God heard that, he extended her life for 25 more years. But you can't extend a human being's life forever. And God extended it so that until the church will wake up. To say, if the king decides not to defend the faith, there will be other defenders. But sadly, the defenders are looking for how they will get more promotion. How they will build a better house. Another important gate of time is to understand when the devil decides to come. Because he doesn't go by your own calendar. He has a certain calendar. And so you need to understand the gates or windows of time when it shows. And if you study your family, if you study your life, you will see that there's a likelihood that there are patterns. You know, there's a group of the Christian church, you know, who will have a certain whatever. We won't go there. Say, oh, so and so. But listen to this. You haven't lived long enough. And if you've lived long enough, you've ignored the obvious. The Bible says in the book of Judges 6:1-2, it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. I will show you tomorrow how people open gates and then they wonder, why am I going through this? Why does this thing keep coming? And he says, and he delivered them into the hand of Midian for what? 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed. Somebody said prevailed against Israel. Why did he prevail? Because Israel opened the door. And so the enemy prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves. Let me tell you, the devil has been prevailing against the church because we've opened many doors. And now we are hiding in dens and caves. But God is changing the story. He's changing the designation. He's about to give you the upper hand. That amen is too weak. I said he's about to give you the upper hand. But how will you get the upper hand? By becoming a watchman. Who's a watchman? Watchmen are people who are able to perceive when the gate is opened. And then they are able to perceive when danger is coming. I prayed a lot. Ask my wife. Before I chose each of the speakers for this conference. Because I don't want to have conference for conference sake. I stopped having conferences years ago. Supernatural Shift will be the first conference I will have in about 10 some years. I usually bring one speaker at a time. And and they had to be people who understand the supernatural and who have fought battles at the gate. Apostle Aroma is a case in point. Listen to this. One of the things that caught me when I said, this man must come. I heard a message where he was talking about that he noticed a pattern in his family that when some people turn 21, from his eldest brother, something that there was an owl, O-W-L, the bird, flying, hovering over the house. You saw something like that. Insanity struck the brother. And then when the next one turned 21, something like that, insanity struck again. When his sister turned 21, some strange disease hit her leg and was swollen and doctors could not cure it. And then he was. So how many of you know 21 in their family is a gate? And it's not a gate for breakthrough, it's a gate for breakdown. And so, how many of you know that? When you know that, you will pray for strength to do battle at the gate. Before, you didn't understand when it says strength to do battle at the gate. Your prayer will not be, God, give me a bigger house. Because if they give you a bigger house, by 21, you won't enjoy it. One of our sisters here, I've told you about how many times, but I think it's important to reiterate it. I woke up one morning, this is maybe about 8 years ago, she's actually sitting down there, about 8 years ago, and I heard, pray for somebody who has a connection with Elkanah. I go to church, I ask, is there anybody here who has a connection with Elkanah? Let me ask again, how many, anybody here who, somebody in your family is called Elkanah. Put up your hand. That's usually the case. I don't get any. It's not a rare name. It's not. If I say Daniel, you will say yes. If I say John, you say. So when we say do prophet, that if you want to do prophetic manipulation, that's not a name to call. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some names that you don't call. Jephthah, all those kind of. No, you know, you'll be on your own. And this woman was sitting on the second row. She came, and as she was coming out, the Lord said to tell her that, I said, where is your father, he says she's is dead. God said to tell you that you will not go the way of your father. She breaks down there and starts to cry. If I tell you that, God, and why does she start crying? She starts, you know, that her father is dead, her mother is dead, and they had 7 children. And of the 7 children, 6 of them are dead. And she's the only one remaining. And the last one died 3 weeks ago. So how many of you know that that gate is already moving towards her? I prophesy over your life that any gates of the enemy trying to prevail against you, to take you, to take a family member, I release strength over this conference, strength to do battle at the gate. The gate of divorce, I release strength to prevail at the gate. Are you here tonight? Listen to this. Saying that you shall not die and live to that woman is different from to anybody else. The other people will just say, amen. She will say, amen! Why? Because it's a reality. Your theological argument about whether there is generational pattern or not, listen to this. And you are trying to be theological and whatever. She will say, tell whoever is asking, say, please hold it. Can they please sort this one out? And then we will. That lady celebrated her 60th birthday. Was last year 20. She's the first person in her family to become 60. Pastor Andy, as gentle as you seem like that, he too. Gentle guy. Went to Kenneth Hagin Bible School and all of that. But some things came to fight their family. You talk about it tomorrow. Similar. And then he learned to the point where Apostle was seeing out. Somebody came into his room and carried the bed and lifted it. Some people haven't seen something, that's why. Hallelujah. Are you here? Then there's what you call the gate of people. The gate of people is, remember, you know, it says the watchman opens the door. The gate of people, I will just mention it, but I will just use it, you know, and I will talk about it in more detail. What's the gate of people? The Chinese people, one of the 7 wonders of the world, I believe, is the Wall of China, isn't it? The Wall of China. Please, I don't know why I'm... Pastor Uche, please, can you move to... Let Pastor Chido come to the front, please. Yeah. I appreciate you. Put your hands together for Pastor Chido. He's the pastor of Radiant City Church in North London. Amen. I've been preaching since, and I've not just been comfortable. Thanks. Pastor Uche understands that... His time is not when Pastor Uche, when you are pastoring your own church, we'll give you front one seat. Hallelujah. The Chinese built a wall, and they call it the Great Wall of China. It was built by the Ming dynasty, and it took them, I think, not centuries to build. That wall, they say, is about 20,000 kilometers. Long. The architectural and the engineering construct of the world is still an incredible feat till today. Some people say you can see the world from out of space. Yeah? Some say that. But why did they build the world? They built the world as a defense against barbarians. Who are barbarians? Anybody that is not part of your country that is fighting you. That's the Romans. If anybody that is not part of them, they call them the barbarians. Okay. Now, the point is this. They built this wall so strong over years, spent money, but they forgot to build their people. That they forgot that every wall has a gate point. And While the enemy will try to climb the fence and try to pull down the fence or whatever, all the enemy did was that the barbarians went and they just called the gatekeepers of the fence and they bribed them. And then they bribed the people and then they let them in at night. That's Satan's principle. The church is protected. You make up part of the wall of the church. And you are the gatekeeper of your own section. But the church, the whole church is compromised when you are compromised. Is this making sense? That you said, I will just do small with my boyfriend. Just small. Only one night. Other girls are doing three nights. Just one night. You open the gate. Not just to the church, to your family. I will show you tomorrow. To your unborn children, you open the gate. Listen to this. Every one of us is a gatekeeper. I was telling someone close to me recently about an incident I had. I heard about some particular pastor. I mean, just looking at his ministry, I thought we had similar ministries. And I wanted to learn. There are just few people like that. And I went to his house and we spoke. The things, I can feel connection. Yeah. You know, I just kept noticing the guy kept saying, when is he coming to my church? When is he coming to my church? When is he coming to my church? As I was leaving his house, I hadn't driven 2 minutes when one of my daughters called me. She's notorious for that. It's a good notoriety. She called me, said, Pastor, I had a dream. I said, what was it about? He said, I don't understand, but I saw a white wolf trying to enter into the gates of the church. And you stopped it. I said, white wolf. And then I thought to myself, what is a white wolf? The Bible says, beware of false prophets. They come as sheep in what? Wolf's clothing. So when a wolf wears sheep clothing, it will look like a white wolf. I mean, it's really, do you understand? It's a wolf, but it will look like sheep. So from afar, it will look like sheep. But when it comes there, you see the eyes, you know this is a white wolf. And then I'll put two and two together. This man is supposed to be a prophet. I'm the gatekeeper of our church. That's what this dream is saying. This guy promised all sorts of things. He has a lot of money. He'll bring this, he'll bring that. And I wasn't moved by that. I said, okay, no wonder. Many other people would have been blinded by the gain. The rest is history. It's only recently that those people started being exposed. The Bible says in Isaiah 56, verse 9 to 11, all the beasts of the field come to devour all the beasts in the forest. When there are no gatekeepers and watchmen, the beast will come and devour the people. If I had let that guy come to the church, he would have devoured my people, opened them up to all sorts of things. I know churches where they invite people and then say, raise money, and then we share the offering. God forbid. When I can still do medicine. Even if I can't do, I will go and walk in Asda. It's better than that. Are you here? He says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs, which means you are blind. You can't even see that the white wolf is coming. They are all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, having conferences just to tickle their various fancies and to have fun and say, I did a bigger one. I had this one. I had these speakers. Yes, they are greedy dogs looking for more, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own gain. Listen to this. All of us have been called to man the gates. But we leave the gates when we are looking for things that will satisfy our belly. Everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Abraham was a gatekeeper and a watchman. The Bible says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? I want you to take note. Abraham was not in Sodom and Gomorrah. He wasn't there. It was Lot, his nephew, that was there. And then God is going to tell, it's like me, here I'm in London, and then God goes all the way to Nottingham or to Bristol to go tell a pastor about what is happening in my church. Then you know that that's what you call dereliction of duty. That there's something wrong with me. Where God could not find anybody to tell. This Lot, who was supposed to be sitting at the gate as a watchman. Well, who is a watchman? A watchman is one who sees when something is coming. But the Lord says, shall I hide? And then he begins to talk to Abraham and says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Are you here this evening? It is my prayer. Listen to this. Not only was Abraham a watchman and he saw the angels coming, yeah, but he was also a gatekeeper. He was an intercessor. He tried to stop God bringing destruction to Sodom and Gomorrah. But there was not enough intercessory latitude. But we'll talk about that some other time. Listen to this. Daniel was a watchman and a gatekeeper. If you look at scriptures, you know, Daniel was positioned in the palace, but he did not forget himself. Daniel was getting visions and dreams. It's the Bible says, in the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Write down significant dreams. You don't know. It may be a prophetic warning. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts come up from the sea, each from the other. First was like a lion, then he talked about a leopard. Now, you will just be seeing animals in your dream. I saw one snake. I saw this, and he jumped on the rat, and so, and the monkey ate it, and this and that. Now, many of the dreams are because you ate too much mashed potatoes the last night. But listen to this. If you are a prayerful person, some of your dreams will be watchman dreams. And even though a monkey jumped on something or something or something, they will have interpretations. Each of those animals was talking about the invasion of the Persian army, the Greek, Babylonian Persian, and the Grecian, then the Roman army. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And God positioned Daniel to see those things, to navigate what will come to the nation of Israel. There's a man, Derek Prince. This is one of the things that also made me know that we had. There are two people I heard him preach about that I said, this guy is my brother. he talked about Derek Prince. I said, that's my guy. Spoke about Watch My Knee. Derek Prince, in his book on shaping history through fasting and prayer, spoke about the fact that he was a missionary in Kenya. And they had this teacher training college. And Kenya is a very strategic country. And for whatever reason, the British crown likes the nation of Kenya. That's where they go on holidays. I don't know why they don't come to Ibadan and places like that. Anyway, that's a different story. And Kenya has part Somalia on the east. Zanzibar, is that Tanzania now? Yes. But Zanzibar was a kingdom at the time. Then it has Uganda, I think, on the west, and part Congo on this side, and Tanzania, you know, Somalia up, Tanzania is down, isn't it? To cut a long story short, while they were praying, one man saw a vision of a red horse coming from the east. And he said, as they were praying, he saw the horse was diverted from entering Kenya and he went to the north. The people didn't understand it at the time, but the prince knew that that was a prophetic word. So what did he do? He took it and they started to pray about it. Long story short, apparently there was some communist whatever trying to invade Kenya, and they were fought off at the gate of Kenya, this, and then they moved and they went rather into Somalia. That's how Somalia became a socialist country. Then different kinds of things were coming, and then it entered Uganda. Uganda, Idi Amin gave them trouble there. And then, so all the neighboring countries had different things, but only Kenya was kept safe because somebody was a watchman that was manning the gate of the nation. Today, Nigeria is going through a lot of Islamic extremism, going through what they call headsmen killing, insecurity, kidnapping. But do you know, 1990, August 17, I had a vision that these things were going to happen, but I did not understand it. And when I understood it as I grew older, I did not know what to do about it. And so many of the things that they're doing now, Nigerians are talking about politics. Who will be this? Who will be this? You know, that's reactive. God's preferred method is for us to be watchmen, that we will see these things coming and deal with it in prayer. Because by the time it manifests, it already has horns and big teeth. I said all of that to say this. Watchmen in the United Kingdom, awake, arise. Watchmen in the United Kingdom, arise. Gatekeepers, arise. Why? Because something else is coming. Listen to this. I've been a pastor in this nation and this city for how many years now? 1995 to now will be how long? Somebody tell me, please. 28 years. That is a long time. That's old enough from the number of years of me being here to get married and have children. Now, watch this. I've been saying since I came, I preach and I talk about witchcraft. Since even my own people will tell me, Pastor, we are not dealing with witchcraft. What's all of this? Why don't we preach a message that is relevant to the people? I said, whether you are dealing with it or not, it's dealing with you. I said, there is witchcraft in this nation. When I talk about my neighbor, witchcraft, they say, Pastor, that's you. They came to you because it's you. Was it this year or November last year? The whatever of statistics brought it out and confirmed that Pastor Shola is right. They say Christianity is a receding religion. And the fastest growing religion in this nation is witchcraft and shamanism. When did it become the fastest growing religion? When you were sleeping. And you were saying, Pastor, preach another message. Are you here? You say, why? Because witchcraft, in your own opinion, does not directly involve you. Okay, I will show you some things. You see, gatekeepers are supposed to protect cities, regions, nations. And let me say this to you. Listen to this. You say, well, okay, you are the pastor. I'm not the gatekeeper. Let me tell you this. You are. If you are a junior church teacher, you are. If you are whatever, if you are a parent, you are. Yeah. Even if you are not a parent yet, you will be a parent. Listen to this. Why are you a gatekeeper and a watchman? When your children go to school, they are teaching them stuff. They are introducing them to witchcraft. All through my children's whatever, we had to keep checking what they were teaching them. There was one thing they wanted to teach them in class. We said no. They sent one homework home. We said they are not going. It's not going to do this homework. Yeah. If you don't know, they will make your children something else. They will tell them you give back to them one way. They will say one day the boy will come back and say I'm feeling like I'm a monkey. And the teacher will encourage the child to be a monkey. You're laughing. It's okay. Listen to this. Somebody, I went to speak at, pray at, I think at Samuel Posu's memorial, whatever. And the person who introduced me said, oh, Pastor Shola Soso is the gatekeeper in this city or in this nation. When he said that, I held the mic. Some other the main gatekeepers were sitting down there. I said, no, I agree, but they are the gatekeepers. I hold the door, the handle of the door. Because when you are the gatekeeper, D, it means it's you they will first hit. That's it. They always bind the strong man first. Now, I don't have a problem with that. The truth of the matter is, I am a gatekeeper. Yeah, but the gatekeeper is not going around. Yes, we are the gatekeepers. Well, it's responsibility. So that brings me to the point, the third point, which is the gate of persons or people. So there's the gate of place. There's the gate of what? Time. Then there's the gate of person. This is one of the most important ones. Listen to this. People are gates. Oh, you don't know? People are gates. Apostle Arome is here now, physically. But he's the gate of his church. And he's also the gate in a gate in that nation. Let me explain what I mean by that. And he's also a gate of the church. Yeah, let me explain what I mean by that. The day the statistics about witchcraft and shamanism came out is the same day that I was invited to Downing Street for a meeting. And it was supposed to be celebrate Advent to meet with Rishi Sunak. It was just blah, 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 yeah, teas and coffees and things like that. And, you know, a number of us were, and I was one of the very few pastors, you know. I just, what am I doing? And then, the year before, they wanted to, Boris Johnson, do something about COVID and the vaccine and things. I was one of five or six pastors that they called to meet in a small place with Boris Johnson. And I'm like, who told them about me? Then I then realized that when that guy said you're a gatekeeper, it means that they don't just call people for anything. They are saying that this person represents, if we want to take anything into a door. And then Bishop John Francis organized a meeting with the Commissioner of Metropolitan Police. And he says that he wants me to come. I said, I'm going to see my dentist. He said, come. I said, you know, I said, come, I need you to. I said, Bishop, I need to see my dentist. He said, defer the date. I went. I didn't realize why. I was on the panel to speak to the commissioner. And then while I was sitting down there, I thought, okay, let's look at the time. When will they be finished? And then the Lord said, finished. You better speak at this gate. Now, this is not the real deal. Let me end in the next 5 minutes by talking what is the most important thing. When you sit at the gate, yeah, you need to take your place, take your stand, and while you take, so most of us just sit there and say, oh, and take photograph. This is how when it was my time, they gave me the mic to speak to the police commissioner. I said, respectfully, sir. Yeah? You know, when they start saying respectfully, they mean... But I respectfully disrespected a policy. Which means I took a stand on something. You see, when you are just sitting somewhere and say we are this and that, this and this, when the ball is coming, will you catch it? Will you take a stand on? And I need to move quickly. Why? Because listen to this. In recent times, there has been a debate. I don't know if you know this. There has been a debate in the Church of England about whether they should change calling God our Father to our mother or our something, our parent. Yeah? So that's even not that bad. It's okay. If it's our parent, that's okay. But I didn't even know. I just stumbled upon it. There's been another debate going on in the church with the bishops coming together to redefine marriage and to redefine sin and attempting to rewrite the scripture. The bishops are the ones that sit at the gate of the church. The word bishop is what Paul called, they says this is the pillar and the ground of truth. So the plumb line is now crooked. And listen to this. The debate is, I think they've even passed some things. And what is the debate? Well, they say that, you know, society is becoming more whatever, so they need to come wake up with the times. They say they are woke. Woke. You are sleeping. Those of you who are woke, we will wake you up. Yes, do you understand what I'm saying? And wokeness is supposed to mean that, you know, oh, you're not accommodating, you're not accepting. Look, the gate of destruction is at the gate of tolerance and permissiveness. That you did not say anything. And that, oh, you don't want to rock the boat, or you don't want people to think that you are not with it. And what are they debating on? That they should say that gay sex is no longer sin. How? Why? Because they want to be accommodating. And so what do? You say the bishops debated. And the final whatever of the debate, they said, is that let's leave it down. So it's okay that they can come and then the pastors or the vicars of the church, we don't necessarily agree, but we can bless their union. Bless the union. Hold on. You don't agree with so, but you bless it. How? What you are saying is, you didn't marry them. You just blessed the union. So you bless that they are living together and sleeping together. Now hear me very loud and clear. I have nothing against gay people. I think gay people are great people. They are good, like everybody else is good, is a good person. Many of them are well-mannered, blah, 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 blah. But you see, my problem is with altering the scripture. In fact, if anything at all, we should bring more gay people into God's house and show them God's love. And let them understand that God has a plan. Is this making sense? And watch this, please, very closely. In a short few minutes, I'll be out of your way. It is sad when the church growth, whatever, talks about vision, this is a big church. The son of another notable person who taught us and is still teaching today said there is nothing wrong with these things. And even said the problem is even with God. Apostle, can you see how the gate is? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Can you see that if we don't talk about these things and we are just having church, how before you know it, your own children? The Bible says that, you know, that after Joshua died, that there arose another generation that did not know God. After a while, they will remove God from even the Bible. When the bishops can sit down and say, take this out, put this in. And then, you know, some people were arguing. It got so bad that a whole group of people, over 80% of the whole Anglican communion in the world, they seceded. There's a man called Ben Kwasi or something like that, the Bishop of Jos. Virulent guy. He said, you people came to preach this thing to us. Some of us lost our lives. And they kill people in the north because of their faith. Then you are saying to temper it down. Look, I will not bless homosexual sex and sin. Neither will I bless heterosexual sex and sin. So it's not about gay or not gay. Is this making sense? It's not about whether you are gay or not gay. You can be heterosexual. I will not say, come and bless this adulterous marriage. God forbid. Is this making sense? And then the final decision was that, okay, they won't make a decision. They will just leave it to the vicars to decide whether, by the time you are doing that, what you are doing, that's what you call a derogation of duty. And that's the process of weakening, lessening, or taking away power or authority. And then, you know, it's like me saying, you know, well, you ask me, should they do this in the church or not? I say, let my wife make that decision. And so what does that do? It's a difficult decision, but then you leave the vicars to suffer it. If they say they won't join, they beat the vicars there, you don't support them. The gates, a man called Father Calvin Robinson spoke out against it. They canceled his ordination. Bishop Ken Kwashi has been speaking about it. They removed them from the Anglican Communion. The African, the southern whatever of the Anglican, they've left. Say, this thing you brought to us, if you won't fight for it, and by saying, he says, we are called to contend for the faith. It says in Jude 1:3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write. The same way I found it necessary to preach to you and not to tell you that you are, how can they tell you? I want you to text three people, say, the man of God has come to tell you. Tell someone, say, he's come to tell you. Prepare your chariot. Prepare your chariot. Something is about to come into your account. Some money is about to enter your account. Hey, your house is about to get bigger. Hey, your car is about to get bigger. Hey, oh, your children are about to get bigger. Hey, your wife is about to get bigger. Hey. I say, if you don't wake up and preach what I'm preaching today, your punishment is about to get bigger. Hey. I whoop when I need to. And I'm not saying that we should never, you know, preach those things. But this is what Paul said. I fought it. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. If we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. The gates of witchcraft, astrology, secularism, alternative lifestyle, whether you want to call yourself spirit or hermaphrodite, whatever, occultism in music is prevailing against the church. Let's stand up as we pray. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Say, God will build this church. I'm not just talking about Liberty Church. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your family. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Listen to this. While we are being neutral, if you have children in university, if you have children, pray. When my children come back and when they say some arguments, when I say, Dad, I say, eh? You that we taught this in children's church, listen to this. The things you taught them in children's church is already eroding. You know? You have to keep renewing it. Thank God for the engravement and the foundation that we gave them. They'll say, Dad, yes, but. But it's a good thing because it helps me to see the other argument too. But you know why? Because they live in that and they all around them, those pressures. But what are their parents doing? We are having breakthrough night so that we can get a better job while Satan has entered into your goalpost. God forbid that your children grow up and then they tell you there is no God. God forbid that your children, and then you have a son and then he brings in two men and says he wants to. If they're arguing for whatever, listen to this, very soon polygamy is going to be, or your child comes and says she wants to marry her cat. What's the solution? We need to pray. And we're going to spend a few minutes now praying before we bring Apostle up. Listen to this. Praying to and acting to abolish these evil laws. Esther says in Esther 4:14, "For if I remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish." May your house not perish. Which means if you do nothing about it, it will affect your house. Yet, who knows whether God has put you in the kingdom, in the United Kingdom, for such a time as this. Open your mouth and begin to lift your voice. And begin to say, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Every demonic spirit unleashed from hell. We're praying right now. We release the fire of the Holy Ghost, the spirit of grace and supplication, spirit of intercession, a prophetic grace to open your eyes. Robata sata parabaroso, rebato soparakata, robato kapara, vikete site, ranta paroto supale, rebata sataka, for strength to turn the battle around at the gates. Rekata paroto para, meto soparanta kade, robato sopara, reta sikere, jegereba, roboros, robara. Je gere baros, mantoro bara, rebaros. Strength to turn the battle back at the gate. In the name of Jesus. I want us to pray one last prayer. I want you to pray for yourself. See, Satan is putting pressure on you and bringing all sorts of things against you so that you, many bills and all of that, so that you won't face the real thing. And what is happening is that your goalpost is now open. And for some of you, you know what? Please, if you can, don't miss tomorrow. We have 3 sessions tomorrow. I'm going to take one of them. And in this, I'm going to talk about how Satan knows you are so strategic. You are a gatekeeper that he's been working on the various gates of your life. Because he knows if he can get you down, Samson, the Philistines will conquer Israel. I want you to begin to pray for yourself. For strength to turn the battle back at the gates. For strength, for boldness, for authority in your family. Rekapatos, Jekedebaros, Rekata Barabara, to turn the battle around at the gates. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Were you blessed tonight? Give the Lord a powerful hand clap as you sit in his presence. Put your hand together for Pastor Uche.
Can we give God a bigger round of applause? Come on, appreciate our pastor for what he is doing. Thank you, thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Wow, thank you very much, sir. Every time I come to church, I'm just glad that God brought me here. My job is very simple. I just want to welcome anybody who is worshiping with us for the first time. If that is you, I know we've already done this before, but more people have come since. So if that is you, we can just indicate by raising up your hands. Thank you very much. Please give them a welcome. If you can indicate by raising up your hands. Either here or in the overflow. And if that is you, there's going to be people in the aisles. There's a lady right in the middle who's waving her hands, and they're going to lead you out to give you a gift, tell you a little bit more about the church. Thank you very much. What we're going to do now is also go into a very short interlude before we continue. Thank you. Oh, sorry. As we worship. So if you're a first timer, can I ask you to please stand up? Thank you. That would be much easier. If you can please stand up. We want to just show you some love. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The people by the aisles are just going to lead you through these doors. They want to just welcome you, give you a gift. Thank you. Can we all rise as we go into a brief time of worship? And I do a short interlude. Thank you.
You've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.